Really, like, hey, probably missed a cut. Yeah. Planning ahead, so I have the anniversary card for me.
I get those phone calls too. Haven't seen it.
Should be a short meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can
talk about it.
I like to call the work session of March 6th to order, and with the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call, please.
Perry. Braverman.
Here.
Kluter.
Yes.
Duber.
Here.
Bonk.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Parks.
Here. Okay, the first thing that we have is a presentation by Michael Battaglia about Shula, the restaurant 2B next to LJI.
Thank you very much to the members of council, President Parker, Mayor. We're coming tonight to give you an overview of some plans that we would like to implement at the intersection of I-271, Orange Place, and Chagrin. Most of you will recall this as being the former Saturn dealership, and we just wanted to give a little history for those of you who may not be familiar with it. The dealership was closed in 2010, I believe it was. Was it 9, 10? It was closed as a result of the downturn in the economy. Saturn, of course, ceased to be a brand. And because of some regulations in the state of Ohio, it's very difficult to repurpose a car dealership. So we had to actually go in and find a new life for it as to what it could be. And we talked to the community, as the mayor is aware, at great lengths, trying to determine what uses would be compatible with the sense of the community for that location. We were fortunate in locating what they call it, the collision center, but for those of you who have seen it, you'll realize it's unlike any other collision center. Very clean, well operated. Most people don't even know it's there unless they use a facility. And this is the intersection. We're blessed because of location. This is the intersection of 271, Chagrin Boulevard, Orange Place.
Excuse me. If you stand there.
I'm sorry, sir. Excuse me. On our corner is, of course, the gas station, our facility, and to the left or to the east, the Village Car Wash, and then you're over to the Wendy's facility. That facility is taking up approximately 65-70% of the facility currently, since they've expanded into the balance of space, and I believe they now occupy something in the area of about 16,000 square feet. We had also implemented a landscape and parking plan in conjunction with that if you take a look at this space, let's go back a little bit. This is the blue space, is the collision center space. And we implemented a parking plan that gives them exclusive parking in an impound area. I believe there's 28 car parking space there. And then the rest of the parking spaces, a total of 132, are available in common for additional tenants. This is the Orange Place view of the building. I wish it was colorized. It's very well done, very nicely landscaped, an attractive sign face that features the building. And then we came with the purpose of finding a compatible tenant to go in. We didn't want to, we had a lot of requests to cut the space up into small merchant space. Exercise centers, internet cafes, everybody came forward. It's obviously a very desirable corner, great traffic, great demographics. We kind of stood fast and made sure that we could come up with something that was a credit to the building and to the community. And we're going to talk more about the tenant when we introduce Ms. Raji Shankar, who's the co-CEO for Wholesome Enterprises, Wholesome Foods. Their space is the 8,500 square foot remainder, which was the office core and the showroom area along the front of the building. You're going to see some dramatic changes take place, and again, in cooperation with the planning and zoning boards. And I want to introduce Brian Fable, who's the architect for the restaurant concept, and let him bring you through some of the changes that they planned for the building. Thank you, Brian.
Good evening. As you're aware, this is the current showroom area. Pretty background building with two canopies. The westernmost canopy currently is enclosed with storefront framing as additional showroom. The eastern canopy is open air. And given the prominence of the building, the elevation of grade off of the street, and the exciting use for the building, a couple things we're planning on doing is, one, actually enclosing the eastern open air canopy to make it additional enclosed space, and we want to give more verticality to those two prominent areas, which now are very low to the ground and very non-focal point at all. And with the additional height, it really will give a much better street presence, area for signage. In between will be a shared outdoor seating patio between the two areas. We will be refacing the front of the building with a inverted standing seam metal product, which will just give a nice fine grid pattern of lines. The back portion of the building will have a natural dry stack stone base, and then recoloring or re-imaging the back into more earth tones. We'll have the metal awnings over the glass with the tiebacks, as well as increased landscaping along the front of the building. We also are proposing some changes to the site plan. Right now, these parking spaces are almost right up against the building. We're actually going to be increasing the depth of the sidewalk to allow the additional planting beds and give a more reasonable drive aisle between the parking spaces. We're reconfiguring parking up in this area to maximize the parking count, as well as changing this area a little bit that used to be just a display area for cars. We're actually changing the parking there as well to fit some more spaces. We will have a, due to some floor changes, there will be new handicap parking proposed here with a ramp to enter from this side, and there are existing handicap that enter the door at the grade elevation at this side. So for either side, we do maintain the handicap accessibility. One of the other features that we're going to do on the corners of these two elements are some very prominent up and down lights to give some lighting to the facade at night, as well as lights in the soffit that would shine down on both of the facades. So at night, again, you get a really nice street presence to the building as opposed to how it currently sits as a very background building.
Thank you, Brian. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Raji Shankar. Raji is the co-CEO for Wholesome Enterprises, and I want her to talk to you more about the concept. Thank you, Raji.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to present our vision to you. This is a dream that is 9 years in the making. 9 years ago, my co-CEO, Randhir Sethi, and I set out on a journey to create an Indian concept, an upscale, fun, casual dining concept. And at that time, we didn't know much about the restaurant industry. So we took a journey down, and we actually have learned a lot along the way, and we are ready to present to you our dream, Chula. Chula stands for Healthy Indoor Cooking, and Chula is actually a device used in cooking. It's a method, and it's been around since 3000 BC. Women in India used to cook with a chula, and that's why we picked the name. It's healthy indoor cooking, and it's cooked in tandoors traditionally, and tandoors are something that you might be familiar with if you have eaten Indian food. Tandoori food is very popular. Tandoor is actually a cooking method and a cooking mechanism. So I want to share with you what it could look like, because we are building the concept right now, and Randhir is actually in India part of his stay during the year, so we can create this concept really fresh, really unique, really authentic, something that the world hasn't seen yet. So that's what we're up to. And pardon me, I'm a little nervous because I'm anxious to share my vision, and if I am tripping over my words, please excuse that. So I want to share with you some of the most authentic cooking is done with some really rich spices in India, but it doesn't have to be really strong curry. There's some subtle flavors, some really rich subtle flavors that come through in Indian cooking when you eat in India. Street food vendors serve some amazing food, and also authentic restaurants and home-cooked food as well. And turmeric is known for a lot of wonderful things, combating Alzheimer's disease and diabetes and cancer, and many other spices have been known to give a lot of healthy outcomes as well, in addition to being very tasty. We want you to visualize with us. This is a restaurant in Singapore, and we see something like this for Chula. These are tandoors. Each of those is an individual tandoor. And meats are marinated, and in long skewers, they're put inside that. And they're cooked in 400 degrees, really, really hot. And the advantage is what happens is all the fat melts down, and it's juicy, moist proteins. That's what we are able to serve. So that's really what we're thinking would be the basis for Chula. And this is an outstanding restaurant in Singapore, so if you're ever in Singapore, please visit Yantra. But we are hoping you'll see something like this very soon in Beechwood, 270, I'm sorry, Orange Village. My apologies, Orange Village, and we'll see it very, very soon. Bukhara is a very famous restaurant in New Delhi, and it's known amongst political figures as one of the best places to eat, and it has some of the best recipes for tandoori cooking, and we want to bring that to America. That's really our vision. It's really unique. It's for 36 years they've had success cooking amazing food. Even today they do that kind of volume that they did that many years ago, and the menu hasn't changed, which is what is very exciting. I want to give you a few more snapshots so you can see the skewers. The chefs are preparing. And there's more skewers in the background and incredible breads. So that's what we are hoping to bring to you. Very rich flavors, incredible cooking, and you can actually see it being prepared in front of you in a very fun, upscale atmosphere.
Good evening. We are still debating the liquor aspect in the concept, but we're not quite sure yet whether we should have liquor or not. And even if we do, it would be probably beer and wine and very light alcohol.
I didn't get a chance to remind Raji that Beechwood is actually a suburb of Orange.
But we'll make sure that that's well pointed. If anyone on, yeah, as long as it's directed that way. If anyone has any questions of any of the members of the team, we'd be glad to field them at this point. And thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you.
Get it. Since some of the prints were small,
yes.
Could you leave a copy?
Sure. What I would like to do, if it's okay with you, sir, is we'll post this online and with all the other things and get you access to that. It'll be much clearer because when you print it out, you lose a lot of the density. Any questions?
The only question I had is, do you get fries with that? Or
Five Guys, yes. So these are, they say that they're new. They're not actually. They've really jumped in an industry and have made a tremendous impact already in the Five Guys concept. But bringing this concept to this location, I think, is a real landmark. And they took a lot of deliberation. The location obviously is not chosen by accident. It's obviously not the cheapest place in the world to do business. And they're here to make a tremendous investment in the property along with the location of the property in order to have a proper venue for the community.
Let me, where is the nearest competitor? I'll say Indian food just for conversations. Is there a competitor anywhere near you?
Singapore?
Saffron Patch. Saffron Patch. Is that a competitor?
You know, there's a lot of Indian restaurants, but most of the Indian restaurants are with families that are immigrants, and if you go in, you'd have a 5-6 page menu, and it's mostly curries. We're not building that concept. Our food is going to be, as Raji showed you, Bukhara, and it's mostly tandoori cooking. So most Indian restaurants have a tandoor as a cooking medium, but not in this format. So one of the challenges that we faced is which way we want to go, and we think we've taken the high road on, because this requires a lot of skilled labor. So we don't have a very close competitor for what we are trying to do. If we consider Indian food as a competitor, there's plenty of Indian restaurants around. But for what we are trying to do, I think our nearest competitor is probably somewhere outside of the United States.
Just so there's a track record, I think the successful restaurant Saffron Patch did have its beginnings on Brainerd Road in Orange Village.
They did.
So everybody knows you're before council for determination of a similar use approval, and it's on second reading next week. Third and final reading, when the council will vote, is on April the 10th, and there'll be a public hearing that night. So we'll hope to see you back that night.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay, moving on to old business and discussion of pending legislation. First item is ordinance 2013, an ordinance amending existing chapter 721, peddlers of the codified ordinance of Orange Village by enacting a new chapter 721, peddlers and canvassers, and repealing certain ordinance, and that'll be up for the second reading. And that was referred to safety.
And the chief is not here tonight, having taken a red eye back from seminar in Arizona last night. So probably any discussion you want to have should wait till he's...
Yeah, I spoke to the chief actually a couple times about this, and we wanted to sit down and speak with the law director and about a couple issues. So I think there's some tweaks that we need to make to this, but we're not ready to do that yet. I think we need, again, both myself, the chief, and the law director to sit down and discuss some of the, I guess, more constitutional issues on it and some of the little tweaks on it. So
I just want to say, ironically, and as things go, I think it was the night or two after this was introduced or discussed last month, I get a frantic phone call at home from a resident at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it was
that kid had come to my house at 7, and I said to him, do you have a permit? And he said, yes, I do, but it was to do with fracking. And he said, I'll come back. But obviously, you scooped him up.
I'm glad to say the community was known for its hospitality.
Yeah, I was told the next day you came in.
Okay. I've talked with the chief also, specific in generalities, and my biggest concern is how we're going to handle election issues and public policy. Where he said that this would be considered a political speech issue, and we need to have some protections over that. I mean, and he said you were working, Brandon was working with him, and a couple of other people. So
what do you mean by protection?
Well, if you have the sticker on your door, is this true? If you have the sticker on the door, during an election season, someone can't go to your house?
It's exactly like a no trespassing sign.
Wow, yeah, cut down a lot of door to door, you made it.
If people have posted it, if you don't post the sticker, somebody can knock on the door. You gotta follow through the,
then we just need to, ban signs after that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought.
A property owner can keep people off their property. You can't, a government can't regulate a property owner from putting a sign up. And so we have regulations where you can have a certain sign up anytime.
Can we have different gradations? Like, could somebody say, I don't want any canvassing, but I do want all my political council people to come visit me?
The village of Stratton tried to do that. It tried to set out a list, and the problem is,
where?
In making, village of Stratton?
Like Vermont?
It's in Ohio, and it went to the US Supreme Court. And the municipal league did a brief on it, saying there should be a privacy interest in the property owners. And what the Supreme Court said is, by making the list, the government is dictating what speech can and can't be permitted. So what this does is it allows a property owner to say to people, I don't want people knocking on my door. And they can say that. That's a property owner's right to say that to people. But it doesn't pick and choose. And then if you're going to be selling things for profit, you have to register with the village. If you are Citizens Action and seeking a contribution as part of your political speech, there is Sixth Circuit case law that says you cannot stop that solicitation or regulate that solicitation because it's incidental to the First Amendment activity. And that issue is actually being litigated on the west by the West Side Committee.
So what good is the sticker if the political action person is simply told, ignore the sticker?
They can't. They can't do that. They can't. They do not have to register with the village.
Right.
But they are bound by a property owner's wish to not have strangers knocking on the door.
So what you're saying is that
except you can't see the sticker until you're well onto the property.
Well, and that's another issue. That's true. And there could be some signal you could indicate. You could think about this, whether you wanted to have something on the mailbox post or something that indicates that this is a house that will not have it.
The bat signal.
We haven't thought that before.
You have the bat signal.
The bat signal.
Every.
The dome.
In the country, I mean.
Big X.
A reverse dog fence.
With a hand.
Okay. All right, so they're still working on that in committee.
It's just second reading next week.
What Steve are you doing? Are you looking at this? Are you coming back next week or no?
Yes.
It's second reading next week.
This is to accommodate, this is to deal with what
problem?
Well,
we need to sit. I need to speak with the chief about this. I've spoken to the chief, but me and the chief and the law director need to sit down before we can really come up with any new, I guess, proposal.
Maybe next week after the meeting.
But yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That works.
Okay, next item, ordinance 2013-4, ordinance determining restaurants to be a similar, harmonious, and compatible use 7 district use and granting a special use permit to Great Expectations LLC for the property located at 27100 Chagrin Boulevard, and that would be up for the second reading. It's referred to P&Z.
Well, P&Z's already voted on it and recommended approval unanimously. And did everybody get Dave Hart's report?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
was
you get
it in your packet?
That's it.
Yeah, we got it in the
middle.
Yeah.
That's it.
It was part of
it.
Your little package. It was in an envelope.
Oh.
It's not voluminous.
Yeah, I spoke to Kathy last night. I just got one question about this, and mine was the ingress egress for the patrons of the restaurant, and I did a curbside consult just now with Judd. You know, going in, coming out rather, you can't really easily make a left onto Chagrin Boulevard.
No,
do it anyhow.
We discussed the access, the two principal issues on the site were determination that there was sufficient parking to accommodate the needs of both users, and what the access, accessibility to the site is, both ingress and egress. And at some point, the owners will figure out that they may want to direct their, make sure their customers are directed to make their
right
turns out onto Orange Place to make the east move, or the west move off of off Chagrin.
And this
how,
is going to be
how many?
A little outdoor,
they have a patio also.
So but how many?
They did not. No, there's not a lot of room in there. There may be half a dozen tables that could be accommodated.
Yeah.
Mr. Bonk.
Speak into the mic a little more so we can all hear you.
Mr. Bonk.
It sounds like you're talking to
how many, probably Herb or whoever, was how many seats is a restaurant going to have?
Seems to me they were talking about 80 seats.
Whoa.
And how many parking spaces do they
have? That's all in
Dave's report.
Yeah, it's about 80 something.
Okay, I just.
No, I think there was 78.
72,
or
70 something.
Right, there's 79. 132 minus 28, so there's whatever that 82 dedicated to that. It's all in this report.
Yeah, there are 82 spaces dedicated, which exceeds the code requirement of 70. And there's an area on the site I was pointing out to Francis earlier. There's an area on the site that isn't striped for parking, but could accommodate parking for the office area should they need some additional parking, which is on the easterly side of the building. There's an area where the road, the driveway widens out that was designed to accommodate cars in the service area for the original automobile dealership over there, making the turns and coming out. Now they don't need that, so they can potentially park them.
Anything else on this item? Okay, we have no new business. Next item is committee reports by council members. Mrs. Cluter.
Do we have any committees? Have you assigned any committees?
That's
yet?
A good.
Well,
so there are
that,
no
I'll
committee
be happy
reports.
To talk.
There are no committee reports tonight. Okay, at this point.
Planning and zoning.
Yeah.
Planning and zoning.
You have one?
Well, very brief, because most of it we just discussed relative to the restaurant use for the additional space at the automobile, former automobile dealership. And there were only a couple small items on the agenda beyond that last night that we reviewed. Some site planning issues.
Hot tub.
Okay, thank you. Any audience comments relating to matters that advance the good of the village? Comments, Mrs. Cloder.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, I went to the NOCA meeting.
Well, then
$400 the 2013 annual meeting, and Ed was there, and Carmen Santani went, and Mark Bram went. I was disappointed that my other colleagues on council couldn't go, but Judd had emailed me and said he couldn't. It was Steve Latourette talking about civility in government. And after 18 years, he had decided that he wasn't going to do this anymore because it was too difficult with the Democrats and the Republicans trying to find a middle ground. So he's hung it up. He was extremely witty. It was a dynamic speech that he gave. And you also missed a good meal. That was very good. They even had a good vegan meal, so that was good. He said it was too toxic. The ability to get things done had diminished. And he didn't want to, it was too much of a personal cost for him. But he said something, and it sort of struck me, especially working on this podium, do we have to fight about everything? He said we can disagree without being disagreeable, and that's sort of where I'm coming from. I think that, I've been saying that for a long time. Seven people bring seven opinions to this podium. We can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. So I found it very illuminating, and thank you. The only thing was, they read off all the people, all the communities who had subscribed or sent in their dues, and Orange wasn't.
I just signed the check today.
Okay, I thought, oh, we didn't do it. And Ed Bonk is the secretary of the NOCA for this year. So thank you. I appreciate it going.
Mr.
Klein.
Well, eventually that'll be proposed to us, I assume.
Mr. Duber?
Just a couple things. First one is, I've met a couple board times with Matt Hills over at Banky regarding the, the thoughts on doing some type of multi-purpose trail. He gave us, an initial quote on, what it would cost to at least get a plan started and moving forward and, thinking how this might be developed. I spoke about this with the mayor, and we're trying to figure out the best approach to go about this, so I guess there's not a ton more to really.
Do you
want to
have the proposal distributed?
Yeah, that's fine.
Make a decision next week?
Yeah, I can go ahead and do that. I can email it out to, or either way. Yeah, you might as well just mail it out. So there'll be a proposal there, and feel free to give me a call if you have questions or whatever. I'm more than happy to give you a little more heads up on that. And then also, just I guess unrelated, I went to this amazing conference this past week. I went to the APAC policy conference in DC. Heard just the most amazing speakers, anyone from the vice president to Benjamin Netanyahu to Israeli defense foreign ministers, ambassadors, senators. There was, I think they said over 90 senators who went, and I think it was over 270 U.S. reps who went to this, and it was pretty unbelievable. So if anybody wants any.
And while Mr. Duber was in Israel at the APEC committee, I was at Tat Shabbat with his niece.
There you go.
Was Orange Village discussed at either?
There'll be no expense reimbursement.
Okay.
Mr. Bonk?
The only thing that was interesting, well, there was a lot of things interesting at NOCA, but the thing that I really found interesting was Mr. La Tourette was not a politician. He answered the questions, as he said, out of office, as openly and unambiguously as I've ever heard anybody in public office. He didn't hedge anything, which was refreshing, but that was it.
Mr. Braverman?
I have no comments tonight. Very entertaining, I'll give you that.
Comments by the mayor.
Even though that was left off the agenda, thank you for adding that along. I do encourage everybody to come to the March 19th Planning and Zoning meeting to see the unveiling of the plans of the Pinecrest Project. I think there will be an audience as well, and I will allow them to ask their questions. We haven't seen what they're proposing in paper yet, because it's been a work in process. It was back and forth for some of the adjacent residents, and then I'm just thrilled to say that once Judd came on board, he's pulling a heavy load and working with the various subdivisions of this project, whether it's the attorneys, the planners, the developers, the residents. So I'm happy to have Judd involved with this because it's a big deal and it could be very exciting, and we will see where we go. They're going to introduce themselves next week, and the game plan is to have legislation before council no later than May, so that if we were able to go through all the steps, it would be done in time for the August deadline to be on the ballot in November. And what will be before council will be a zoning ordinance, a development agreement with design criteria, and placing it on the ballot. So a lot of heavy lifting coming, so the agenda looked light, no new business, but there's a lot of new business coming up pretty soon. I will know a lot more about our potential dispatch location after Saturday's mayor's meeting. We had a good working session here today. I will ask probably to place on the agenda at the April work session a presentation by Lieutenant DeSico, who's been leading the charge on this decision, if we do come to a resolution on Saturday. It will involve some financial commitment on our part that will be brought back in lower operating costs over the next couple of years. And you've read about it in the paper. I haven't talked about it too much, but providing a dispatch service to our residents is government function basic number one. And I think we've been carried a lot by Chagrin Falls over the last dozens of years without really recognizing and realizing how much of the load they've been carrying. And now we're gonna have to take our share, and with our partners, we've been exploring different opportunities. You remember last year we had talked about sharing our church building with them, but we came up with a better alternative, and next week I can give facts or prepare a meeting with the work session for you to get all the details from Nick, who's been leading the charge on this. But we stand to be in a very good position if the seven other communities and Orange can make some critical decisions, which we're slated to do on Saturday. Monday night, I attended the fire meeting, and we were the recipients of the first Lucas machine, which was a gift from University Hospitals to our fire department. It's a fascinating piece of equipment. It automatically applies compression, CPR, to a patient so that our paramedics are free to do other things. We were the first to receive it, and we were immediately called out to put it in service on Tuesday morning. The good news is that it was successful, and the doctors and all the and the other ambulance companies that were at the hospital when we arrived were very interested in it, wanted to know where they can get one. Unfortunately, the patient it was used on did not have a good outcome. But it was had nothing to do with the Lucas machine. So unless the fire chief wants to add something other than what I said, it we're very lucky to have this relationship we have with UH. They give us a lot of cutting edge equipment, and we look forward to continuing that relationship. So other than that and what Brandon's doing, I just want to add to what Brandon said about the proposal. I think it's a great idea to get this information, and I'm fully supportive of taking advantage of this opportunity to take an inventory and get a complete plan. Let's not get it bogged down in the politics and the controversy. Let's get the data and the facts, and then maybe we'll see where it goes. We don't even know what we're talking about until we do this. So you'll get that in your packet. I think it's great. So I thank Brandon for taking the charge on that. And we'll give a more detailed report in the next few weeks about the service department, but it's going along great. Bob is doing a lot of work, and we should be very grateful that he is doing it, but it's coming out successfully. Most of the things are coming in under budget. There's just a couple of issues that need to be worked through, and they're proceeding on schedule, I believe. The interior of the church, when I last saw it, had all the studs up. Has the drywall been started? Okay, so it's almost ready for the drywall. The interior of the church is pretty much the electricity's all in and all that. The only bugaboo is the fire suppression system, which, much to our surprise, we find out that when it was installed, under previous fire chiefs and previous mayors and previous building departments, was really not installed. So we didn't really have a fire suppression system there, and that's really the only negative surprise we've encountered in this project. And we will correct it. And the exciting part about it is it's getting done, it's gonna be great, and we are going to have a large space left over that's going to be turned into a community center with a banquet kitchen, and we'll attach it by a path to the amphitheater. And I look forward for the service department to be done so that we can get onto that exciting part of community facilities. Other than that, there's a lot going on, and as I think of it and as we talk, you'll know everything I know. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, and while we're on the service department, I will report that our note borrowing has been successfully negotiated. It was sold all to one creditor. Our net cost of borrowing, it was a 1% coupon, as Matt Stasinski predicted last May, but it was sold at a premium. So if you know about bonds and investing, when you sell a bond at a premium, it means your net interest cost is less. So after taking into account the premium, our net interest cost is 0.6%. However, there's some expense associated with it, and after we get the legal fees, which we anticipate all those expenses thrown in, we will be just under a 1% cost. So finance did real good on making that happen. It will close on March 19th, and good job. So all is well in every department on all fronts.
Thank you. Dave, could you do that for my mortgage? Okay. I don't have any comments. I will have those committee assignments. I'm sorry I didn't get home today before I got here, so we could do that next week. And with that, we are ready to adjourn.
So moved.
Get yourself recognized as a political subdivision.
Wait. It's the Parks District.
Yeah.
We're there.
The Senate.
So
there's no requirement. All we have to do is publish it.